As I was introduced, my name is Darian Armand. Today I'll be talking about the gap in global health education. There's a gap between the demand and supply of global health and human rights education in the health science schools. So before I begin, I have nothing to disclose. And I'd also like to acknowledge my co-authors, Maria Bemis-George, Courtney Rosbitsky, and Sarah Linneman, and Dr. Daniel Bosch. So there is a need for global health exposure in the health sciences. We're starting to see that with increased globalization, there's communicable diseases are no longer endemic to one region of the world, and we're starting to see that now with Ebola. Travel medicine clinics visits have increased. We're starting to see that as immigrants come to our country, they return home and they go to travel medicine clinics. So there's a need for global health exposure before you can work in those kinds of settings. And then when you're in the healthcare settings, it's obviously very important to have some cultural sensitivity, and that's just an extremely important part of healthcare. This graph, as you can see, just shows that as increasingly there is about 77% of American immigrants are from developing countries. So there is need to be exposed to those kind of countries and those kind of cultures to increase your cultural sensitivity. So is there a demand for global health education in medical schools in particular? So in the graph on the left, you see that's the percentage of incoming medical students who want to pursue a global health opportunity, and it's about 65%. And then if you look at by the time they graduate, how many of them actually do get to pursue a global health opportunity? And it goes down, it's only 22%. So there's a large gap. So why the gap? I can speak from personal experience. We had the opportunity after our first year of medical school to travel abroad, and a lot of my classmates did go travel abroad and work in clinics in developing countries. I didn't get to do that, and the reason for me is just financial reasons. It costs about $2,000 to $3,000 to do one of these trips for about two months of the summer, and you know, with just how much student loans I already have, it's expensive. Another way students get global health exposure is the MD/MPH degree, which a lot of medical schools have, but again, that's another $30,000 onto my tuition. So. Again, I think financial cost is a barrier for most students. So, as you see, this graph shows that medical schools are attempting to bridge the gap. They are trying to offer more global health experiences for their students. But as you can see, it's a very slow growth. And the latest statistic is from 2004, 2005, and again, only about 22% actually give students that kind of opportunity. So it's still lagging behind. Also, human rights education, extremely important part of the health sciences and education in health sciences. The WHO defines health as a state of complete mental, physical, and social well-being. And the right to human rights, such as the expression of speech, freedom of speech, freedom of association, those are extremely important part of social and mental well-being. Also, morbidity and mortality is linked to things like education, equality, food security, for example. So education, human rights education is very important. So as you can see in the table, that's the percentage on the very far right is the percentage of institutions that offer courses in human rights education. And as you can see, it's extremely lacking. Public health is the best of the bunch at 20% that offer public human rights education. And while medical schools and nursing schools are extremely lagging behind, medical schools only offer about 2% of them only offer human rights education, and about 0.2% of nursing schools offer human rights education. So how can we bridge this gap? One way is chapters like mine that at Tulane called the Doctors for Global Health chapter. So what is Doctors for Global Health, first of all? So it's a private, not-for-profit organization founded in 1995 by volunteers working in war-torn El Salvador. It's comprised of volunteers with no paid employees in the USA. The funding comes from individual donors with a few private organizations such as the Ford Foundation, but no government aid, so that there's no, I guess, influence, governmental or political influence in the organization. Its main principles is to promote health, education, art, and human rights throughout the world. It's not just doctors, as the name would suggest. It's students, educators, artists, attorneys, engineers, and many other types of professions. So what does it do? So they volunteer their time and expertise in communities that invite us to join them. So that's very important that they're invited to these communities. They don't exert themselves on other people. They have to be invited and welcomed to these communities. And they fund and support local projects that build on the energy of local leaders. And they educate and advocate for domestic and foreign policies that promote justice and peace. And they accompany communities in fulfilling health and the other human rights. So far, they've already helped communities in Argentina, El Salvador, Guatemala, Honduras, Mexico, Nicaragua, Peru, Uganda, and the United States. So this is just a map showing exactly where they're active at the moment, where they have current projects. As you can see, it's mostly in Central America, but there are some projects in South America and Africa as well. So some examples of current projects that are currently underway. They fund a local clinic in El Salvador. It's staffed by DGH volunteers and local nurses and health promoters. In Guatemala, they offer mental and dental services to communities. In Uganda, they run a women's clinic and cervical screenings in addition to many other programs as well. And one of the more innovative projects is in Mexico, where they have gardens of medicinal plants. And then also in El Salvador, they raise funds for a youth-led organization which uses theater and role-playing to educate their peers and adults on the risk of HIV and STIs. And that's one of the ways they kind of promote art as well in the organization. So the Tulane chapter of Dr. Global was the first student chapter of the national organization. We work to kind of bridge the gap of supplying the human rights education and global health education to our fellow classmates. Some of the things we do, we have a yearly panel of medical students that have done trips abroad, and they all kind of tell students what's available to them. We have documentary screenings. We have guest speakers from international organizations like MSF. We have journal clubs that usually talk about human rights issues. We organize and promote Global Health Week at Tulane. We volunteer in community health fairs. We facilitate and promote international medical trips. We're the go-to people if students are interested or want to find out about medical trips they can do. We're the people they go to. And we have this. We did fundraisers, and we did Learning in the Loo, where we have global health facts on the back of bathroom stalls. And we created a healthcare elective for our students as well. So what is the impact? There's obviously, we can't collect that much data, but just from talking to students, there's increased interest in volunteering abroad after medical school and as well after the first year of medical school. Between the first and second year of medical school, students are interested in trying to get involved and trying to go abroad to volunteer. We create connections to international physician leaders for volunteer opportunities and networking, and we've increased knowledge of human rights issues through our journal clubs. So our impact, again, about 40% of our medical school class is currently undertaking the MD/MPH degree. That's actually quite a bit for a medical school. I believe we're one of the highest in the nation in terms of percentage. But still, even with that, 60%, I mean, 60% of our school, our class, is not receiving adequate global health exposure. And usually when you have a speaker series, we have a doctor usually who's worked abroad in MSF, for example, or Doctor for Global Health. And they'll come in and they'll just talk to the students. And about 25 to 30% of our class comes to that. So we're meeting that need, and we're trying to give those students, the 60% that didn't have that global health exposure, we're giving them that exposure. So we're not trying to promote, we're not trying to say don't work in a developing country. We're just telling students that if you can't afford to, we're going to offer you some exposure that you wouldn't get otherwise. So some of the benefits of working in a developing country: you have increased clinical skills, you have increased confidence, increased sensitivity to cost issues, less reliance on technology and more on physical exams. And we get a great appreciation of cross-cultural communication and about 67% of fourth-year medical students who had completed a clinical rotation abroad found it influenced their medical careers. So it's actually extremely important for medical students and public health students to actually, if they can, go abroad. And so Doctors for Global Health, the national organization, does offer additional opportunities for medical students and public health students. There's projects in El Salvador, Guatemala, Uganda, and that link there is how people can get involved. So at the moment, these are the chapters we have across the country. We have, of course, the chapter in New Orleans here. We have the chapter chapter in Boston, D.C., Los Angeles, and San Francisco. And we're just starting another chapter in New York. So the Global National Organization is going to use the Tulane chapter as a model to hopefully expand to other medical schools and public health schools across the country. And so just to conclude, the chapters like the chapter at Tulane, we work to bridge the gap from the want and the desire for exposure to global health and the supply, which is lacking. So we're that kind of bridge. We do that. And also, it's we're giving the students the opportunity to get exposure to human rights issues and global health education. So we believe we serve that purpose. And so far, it's I think we're doing a good job. So that concludes my presentation. Thank you for your time.